During those years, Interpol was headed by some of the most notorious Nazi war criminals, such as SS Obergruppenführer Reinhard Heydrich, who chaired the infamous Wannsee Conference where the Holocaust was planned. Arthur Nebe, the criminal police chief who also commanded Einsatzkommandos, or killer squads, that liquidated undesirables. And Ernst Kaltenbrunner, who succeeded the slain Heydrich and was hanged at Nuremberg for war crimes. Working with Heydrich at Interpol was a young SS officer named Paul Dickkopf. After the war, Dickkopf served as president of Interpol from 1968 to 1972. At the recommendation of FBI Director Hoover, who always seemed more concerned about communists than Nazis, the United States formally joined Interpol just 2 weeks after the 1938 Nazi Anschluss of Austria. Hoover kept up a friendly correspondence with Nazi Interpol leaders until a few days after Pearl Harbor, when apparently he felt such connections might tarnish his image. After the war, Interpol officials insisted that all its files were destroyed in Allied bombings. However, according to researcher Vaughn Young, a Swedish policeman named Harry Soderman, who had worked with Interpol since its inception, argued that an aborted attempt in 1945 to take the files out of Germany left them in French hands. The next year, Interpol was re-established with strong support from the French police and headquartered in Paris. Also in 1946, Hoover sidestepped the U.S. State Department by attending a meeting in Brussels to formally reconstitute Interpol, where he was elected vice president. Former U.S. Army intelligence officer William Spector stated Hoover gained blackmail leverage over many prominent American businessmen and political leaders by acquiring the Nazi Interpol intelligence files at the end of World War II. To this day, Interpol officials have declined to seek out Nazi war criminals, claiming such action is beyond its jurisdiction. By 1980, Martin Bormann, then in his 80s, had traveled extensively in South America, often just ahead of Nazi hunters. He lived in a luxurious estate near Buenos Aires, writing his memoirs while still under the protection of Gestapo Müller. Paul Manning said this aging recluse remained the guardian and silent manipulator of a gigantic industrial pyramid centered in Germany. Bormann also had become mentor to a new generation of lawyers, bankers, and industrialists.